One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Be Here for a While. Today's episode of Be Here for a While is brought to you by Quip Sports Research and Skillshare. These are all things you can use during the lockdown. You know, Oh, my cookies just went off. That beep that you're hearing, I'm making peanut butter cookies with ingredients that I don't know if it's going to work out. I made up a recipe, and they are peanut butter cookies made with almond flour, so it's going real heavy on the nuts, and maybe too much fiber during a time when we don't have a lot of toilet paper. So it's risky all around, but I'm a risk taker. How are you guys doing? Oh, man, I'm thinking about you. This is scary. But I think the best way for us to get through this is just to be there for each other. And, you know, while we're all in lockdown and quarantined, the only thing I can keep doing to stay connected with you guys is putting out more content, putting out good content. My God, do I have the time to research some awesome topics. So I'm going to be putting out the regular episode here on all the, you know, free, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you're listening now. And I want to just say I appreciate you guys so much for being so supportive. It means a lot. Like I talk to you guys constantly on the Instagram. You're my favorite. And feel free to DM me anything you're thinking. And if you're trying to work from home and your kids are ruining your conference calls, message me. It'll make me laugh. I'm at Rachel, RACHAELN O'Brien, reads like Rachel No Brian on Instagram. And it takes a few seconds. And if you're bored, could you just rate it 5 stars, please? I'll love you forever. You know, help a sister out. And again, I'm here for you. Message me how you're feeling. Okay, so I'm so excited. So all the same episodes are going to come out every week on all these listening platforms, but I am finally going to set up that Patreon, and no pressure at all. I just want to make extra content. In order to do that, I need some help from you guys. I am going to just keep putting out good content up there as extra bonus stuff. And if you are interested, it's going to be more of a kind of true crime sort of genre, but not the straight true crime stories you've already heard of. I have some ideas for just some kind of crazy rabbit hole type of things that my weird brain has thought of, like, what is the psychology behind the, like, during a crisis time like this, do criminals act up more, or do they go into hiding more? And then just trying to find cases like that, because I'm pretty sure I was already scammed once. Don't answer your door for people you don't know right now. There's my cookies again. Anyways, sorry for the beeps. Anyways, guys, I'm excited about this episode. Greg Hunter, the sound guy slash the BF, is joining me for this episode. We did a ton of research for it. I'm really excited about it. It is how a plague or pandemic or whatever can be kind of funny 500 years later. I don't know the math on that. Is it 500 years later? 1518. Leave me alone. I don't know. Anyways, there was a dancing plague back in 1518. Yes, people literally danced themselves to exhaustion and some to death. And they were like in a trance and couldn't stop. So here's the story of the dancing plague of 1518. Well, all right, we're here.
We're here.
Hunkered down.
In our corona quarantine den.
Do you know what you called me the other day? And I just thought that you were saying like cronies as in like pals. You were like, you're my crony. And I was like, that's a cute way to say friend.
Yeah, you're my crony.
And then about 12 hours later, because my brain is foggy, I was like, Wait, did you mean like, was that a pun?
It was a bit of a pun. You were feeling particularly ill, perhaps feeling some...
We don't know.
Corona symptoms.
Well,
and
whatever.
And yeah, we were you know, we were being cons and comrades and cronies, and you were my crony.
That's adorable.
I thought it was adorable.
Okay, well, so Greg's going to be my guest. I can Skype.
She's forced to have me on because there's no other options. Well, the whole world shut down.
Well, now we're stuck with each other. We're just going to pass our germs back and forth. I can't be exposing anyone else.
We've been passing germs for a few months now.
I know, but I can't invite a guest over or anything. Although I could Skype someone in. Who knows? But Greg and I have planned a bunch of cool, fun podcasts that, I'll be releasing them on the regular podcast app. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, for free, as per usual. But I have so many topics that I want to cover, and now that we can't leave the house, we got the
bonus content.
We got the time. So a bunch of the other fun subjects that we're both researching, but we're both going to kind of surprise each other with some of the subjects. Like, you don't know the full extent of what I'm going to do today. Spoiler alert for you guys. It's a cool kind of plague. It's called a dancing plague.
The dancing plague.
Yeah. So anyway, we have a bunch of ideas, and we're going to put them up on a Patreon, which I will put in the show notes how you can find that.
It's like we're doing book reports on interesting stories for each other.
And maybe because we have nothing else to do, I'll make a diorama and just present it to you during the podcast.
I would love that.
Or a
like a coat hanger.
Or a mobile. No, that was a mobile.
Oh, a mobile.
A diorama was like just the cardboard like thing that was kind of like, here's a little stage that you would set.
Ah, yes. You build your own cardboard stage like that'll fit on a school desk.
Yeah. What was that accent?
It's my diorama accent. When I'm presenting a diorama.
Did you get corona and it's affecting your speech? I literally just thought you said like the French word for diorama. I was like, what is he?
It's more, I think I might be catching not corona, but the dancing plague.
Yes,
it is
you
a
may.
French accent. That's what it is.
Yeah, because I just wear this.
My inner 1500s troubadour coming out.
Okay. All right. So anyways, all that extra content, which is, I'm gonna keep all the true crime under that umbrella. So if you're interested, I know there's a billion true crime podcasts out there, but I'm gonna try to bring you cases that maybe you haven't heard before, okay? Or my take on certain cases. Or maybe it's not true crime, but maybe it's something like, do more crimes happen during a national crisis, for example?
Like the one we're in.
Yes. So it's like a spin on all of it. Anyways, all the links to where how to do that will be in the show notes. And now let's get to this show. So, you know how, like, you just feel like maybe you got a beat and you feel like moving your feet a little bit. Maybe if you're down and out, you know.
The beat takes me over all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes people go to dance parties and raves. But what if a rave lasted for 2 months straight? Could you handle it?
I don't think I could.
But that was, okay, so we're going to get into it, the Dancing Plague of 1518.
The Dancing Plague of 1518.
And yes, it's exactly what it sounds like it is.
So there's a disease out there that causes you to dance.
We don't know if it's a disease. It's basically like the opposite of Footloose.
Might
you know?
I say it's a dance fever.
It could be, yes.
Does it happen on a Saturday night?
Oh, my God. Let's just say it's the opposite of Footloose, where that whole town was shut down. It was like, no more dancing. We're not allowing this. No music, no dancing, no fun. In 1518, one woman set out, started dancing, and they thought that the only cure for the dancing was more dancing.
More dancing.
Yes.
I'm going to prescribe you the cure, and it's more dancing.
Okay, we're going to stop talking in like movie quotes and puns now. But, okay, so
tell me, yeah,
I'm going to explain to you what it is. Okay, so the dancing plague or dance epidemic of 1518 was a case of dancing mania that occurred in Strasbourg, which is now modern day France, in the Holy Roman Empire in July of 1518. It started with one, I think, awesome woman, Frau Trofea. Please tell me I'm saying
she's
right.
She's got to be an awesome
Frau
woman.
Frau Trofea. Yes.
If she's going to start an entire epidemic of dance.
Well, yeah.
How strong were those dance moves?
Probably as strong as mine. I don't know. The ones you just recorded.
Wow, wow.
Well, they were, listen, they were notably erratic. Maybe was crazed. We don't know. We're going to go over theories at the end. Or maybe she was just an oppressed lady of the time and wanted to make herself feel better. So she decided to start dancing. And then eventually around 400 people took to dancing 4 days without rest.
So she's the real dancing queen.
Absolutely she is. I don't know what those moves were, but they must have been enticing.
They must have been. I just about quoted a Maroon 5 song as like the moves like Jagger, and I was like, "That's the." I regret that thought even went into my brain.
I don't know. You've been speaking in puns and little quips this whole podcast.
That's where the road ended for me.
I invite you to be yourself now.
Thanks.
Speaking of quips, this is my favorite quip. Quip electric toothbrushes. And right now, we're taking self-care to the next freaking level. We're all on lockdown right now, and it is time to get those pearly whites as fresh and clean as you possibly can. I know that I've been so bored, I'm just like, 2 minutes, Quip? I'll do it 5 times a day. I don't know. Maybe that's excessive. Who knows? But Quip is one of my favorite products for self-care. Quip, the makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, wants you to know the one single discovery that matters most for your dental care. It's simply this, that you have good habits, you are good. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day and flossing regularly. No matter what brand you use, Quip makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric brush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide for a full and even clean. The Quip floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string to help you use just enough. I love that. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping, so your routine is always right. It's as easy as that, and right now, we need delivery. Guys, you're not going to the store. So join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/behere right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/behere. That's getquip.com/behere. Quip, the good habits company. Okay, so around 40 people took to dancing for days without rest. Over the period of about a month. Oh, sorry. I thought it was 2 months. Whatever. So there is some
Hold on, say that just a little bit. So you're telling me over 400 people danced for a month straight.
Yeah, off and on. I mean, some people collapsed out of exhaustion, but they would take a beat and then get back in it when they were ready. And then some of this is sad because some people did die from exhaustion of the dance plague.
Danced themselves to death.
They did. But listen, this was 1518. It's not too close to home right now. I don't think it's too soon yet.
So there hasn't been any dancing plagues since?
There actually, during this time, were a bunch of different dancing plagues. So, okay. So, like I said, the outbreak began when Frau Trofea began to dance fervently in a street in Strasbourg. That her first little stint lasted between 4 and 6 days, okay? And so at first, I think people just saw her, like, she walked out of her house and, like, they think maybe just looked over, like, oh, she got a piece of good news, or she's just happy, or it's a good day, finally. Because you have to think about it, too. This was just right after the Dark Ages. It's there. She was amongst a community living in absolute poverty, run by the church, who was very, very, very corrupt. So, like, the church at the time there, which, I mean, has it changed, really?
Still just as corrupt.
Yeah. They were basically like hoarding all of them. All the like peasants and people were super poor, but the church was still asking for tithing and all this stuff. And come to find out, the church has all the finest wines, all the nice things and riches in the world, and they're living it up while they're watching people literally go to the bathroom in the street, bathe in a river that was contaminated by the blood from like slaughtering animals or whatever. And what was that noise?
That's the noise you make when you hear that people are bathing in animal blood.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't like direct. I mean, it was going into the river. So anyway, so they're living like that. And maybe, I don't know. And it was also a time where women were basically considered to be like the cause for everything. Every heir of society was like blamed on women. you know, they experienced famine, adultery, on top of having to be like loyal wives or whatever, sexual and physical violence. So it could be safe to assume that maybe some sort of mental trance that Frau Trofea stepped out in, maybe it was an act of rebellion, or maybe it was just she decided to dance and maybe she wanted to irritate her husband.
That's kind of awesome. Yeah. I'm imagining a woman just getting tired of like her chores with the house or whatever her husband is telling her to do. And she's like, I'm just going to dance.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let all this go and I'm just going to dance.
She's like, I'm going to have a little mead because that's like an old timey drink.
Mead, yeah. Right? That's like Viking wine.
Yeah, I'm going to have a little mead and go out and just dance. So she does this, right? And then her husband, I guess, is so. And the onlookers just think like, oh, it's just a woman dancing, which wouldn't seem that weird, like right at first, you know?
Yeah. The first 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, after 4 days, it's like...
She's still going.
Yeah. Ow. Did she get some meth?
Trafal.
Do we have meth in this day and age? And then so it began where her husband was like begging her to stop and like he couldn't get her to stop. And it was like she wasn't even basically hearing if someone told her to stop or like, hey, maybe you should drink some water or eat some food or whatever.
So you're in the zone.
I guess so, honestly. So it was there's differing timelines, but they say it was either between 4 or 6 days that then the authorities got involved. Right. And okay. So
you know it's a dance fever when the cops come.
Yeah, because they're like, we got to go, because they don't want the kids having fun. Again, it is, well, so originally it was like Footloose, like no dancing in this town, no fun, whatever. But then,
she's been dancing for how long?
Yeah.
That's not allowed.
Yeah, but then I guess they had these like doctors come in and the doctors literally did decide that the prescription was more dancing. And I'll get into that in a second. So... what they decided to do with her, like at first, was there was a saint, and I can't remember the saint's name. So basically, once the like authorities got involved, they decided originally the course of action with her was they're going to take her up to like worship Saint Vitus or whatever his name is. I don't really know the full story. It's something along this saint. Basically, he was regarded as like very pure or something because he was able to. Turn down the advances of seductive dancing ladies in order to like get into paradise. So maybe it was she had to be like, I'm so sorry that I was seductively dancing in the streets, St. Vitus, like, and all was supposed to be healed. Because the thing is, these people were in such famine, in such, you know, poverty and just such horrible conditions. And, you know, in those types of times, they turned to religion. And they, I think that they thought they were somehow being punished for any sin they've ever done, so that this like demons are, you know, were taking over these women. And here's the thing, it was mostly women doing this hysterical dance. So whatever, it doesn't work. She goes up to St. Vitus. Who knows what happens, what the chat was between them.
Guys, I am not sacrificing my summer body or my health just because I have to stay inside. I am adapting, and Sports Research is helping me do that. Sports Research are the makers of Sweet Sweat. It's your one-stop shop for a lifetime of performance, health, and wellness. And in celebration of their 40th anniversary, they want to help you enhance your morning routine with their best-selling collagen peptides. I'm also super obsessed with their Sweet Sweat. So basically... okay, so Sweet Sweat isn't activated by your elevated heart rate, and it may help the body sweat more during exercise. So you can just put that on areas that, you know, you want to target more. Like for me, it would be my stomach or maybe my thighs. And it takes your workouts to the next level with the Sweet Sweat Workout Enhancing Gel. It's an easy to apply roll stick applicator, and the clean scent keeps you smelling fresh while you're exercising. And especially if you're working out in a one-bedroom apartment next to someone, you want to smell fresh and look fresh. And Sweet Sweat helps you do that, and it helps you reach your goals. Sports Research believes in using the best ingredients so you can have total peace of mind about what you're putting into your body. Collagen is vital to help support the health of your skin, hair, and nails and connective tissues. I've noticed that my hair is shinier, my nails feel thicker, and as we get older, our bodies naturally begin to produce less collagen, and the first signs of aging start to occur. And Sports Research collagen peptides provide the best product at the best price. And did you know it's the highest rated collagen product on Amazon? And also, it tastes delicious. I put it in my yogurt in the morning. It feels like I'm having dessert. It's offered in a variety of flavors,
I use the chocolate. It's delicious. Sports research collagen peptides can be added to coffee, oatmeal, yogurt, soup, and sauces. And many products claim to be, but Sports Research Collagen Powder is truly third-party certified and non-GMO verified. So meet your new morning ritual with the Collagen Collection. And, you know, get that summer body still while you're inside with sweet sweat. Keep working out together. I'm here for you. And if you go to sportsresearch.com and use the code BEHERE at checkout right now, you'll get 20% off your order. That's 20% off site-wide at sportsresearch.com with the code BEHERE at checkout. Sports Research, your one-stop shop for a lifetime of performance, health, and wellness. So she goes up to St. Vitus. Who knows what the chat was between them, but she's probably thinking, you know, I'm going to come back down to my village and it's all going to be over. But nope, more people started gathering in the streets. And so eventually it was like 34 people had joined. And then within a month, there were over 400 dancers, predominantly female. Now, it irritates me a little bit that it's presented this way. Like, I don't know for sure if it was predominantly female. If it was, I can see why. But, like, I also can see history being rewritten where it's like these crazed women were out in the streets dancing and the men had to try to calm them down.
So you think that it wasn't mostly women?
I don't know. I think that history can be rewritten that way. I mean, there's a quote from a historian of the time who said that because this was a time, like I said, of extreme misogyny. And one of the main chroniclers of the dancing plague called the victims, the women, free, lewd, and impertinent, full of lasciviousness and without fear or respect. And at certain points, he also, quote, called them whores and scoundrels. So, I mean,
wild.
Yeah.
Wild of the men also in that era would like take that perspective. I feel like if 400 women started dancing fervently and what were some of the
lasciviously,
there we go, in the streets in 2020, the men would be like, all right, this is fantastic. Are you kidding me?
I think it was just a double standard back then where, like, it was, you know, you weren't supposed to sin. I mean, the guys could sin all they wanted, but, like...
They certainly did.
Yeah, and they certainly did. But, like, it was like they would point the finger like, well, you're the cause of my sin. Your hysteria. And we're going to get into how ridiculous the whole hysteria thing is. So, basically, as the dancing plague worsened... they called on local physicians who then ruled out astrological and supernatural causes, instead announcing that the plague was a natural disease caused by hot blood. However, instead of prescribing bleeding, I don't know why they said, like the blood.
That was like a thing they did back then. They would like bleed you.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What does that mean? They like let your blood out?
Well, they thought they would like drain blood out of you.
And does blood grow back?
Hey, this is just as dumb as them thinking that women were the cause of all their problems.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they did it back then. I think that's what they're referring to.
That's crazy. So then this is when the authorities encouraged more dancing, in part by opening two guide halls and a grain market and even constructing a wooden stage so that the woman could prance along the stage and whatever. And then when the dancing would, you know, go through day, night, or whatever, and then to increase the effectiveness of the cure, when they got really tired, the authorities even paid for musicians to come in and play upbeat music to get them going again.
They brought them a band.
Yeah, they did. I just kept thinking when I was hearing about this, like, it almost like doesn't, it, like, okay, so their like medicine and all their weird things are a little bit ridiculous, but it also does sound like a very organized society. Like, all right, we're going to create a stage. We got to keep them dancing. Yeah. And then we got a band. Like, how are they, did they send
I'm impressed.
Did they send a carrier pigeon to go find a local band?
Like, where's the band coming from?
I don't know.
What were they playing? What did that music sound like? That's what I want to know. What was that band comprised of? I want to hear that stuff right now.
Okay. Yeah, I have no idea. I just feel like I kept thinking, like, this is oddly organized for back in the day. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking, I don't know.
All right, we got a problem here. Everyone's dancing. Yeah. You know what they need? They need a stage. Yeah. And they need a band.
We need it now.
And we need it now.
And this was in a matter of a month. It was like, all right, people are dancing. Let's build a stage. Let's open all these. Like, they moved quickly.
It's
they moved
good.
Quicker than
for
we
1500s
did.
France.
They moved quicker, frankly, than we did with the coronavirus. Too soon? Anyways.
That's what we need.
More dancing?
Well, I was going to think a stage and a band. Let's put everyone together in a big
music
festival. Then we'll all get sick at once, then we'll all get over it.
No. Okay.
Wrong idea.
Bad idea.
Okay. All right. That's why women are in charge.
Back to square one. Yeah. So there's a historian named John Wheeler who has written a ton about this. And he stated, and one could think like, okay, well, maybe these people could sustain this much dancing because they were laborers and their bodies were used to it. But that the amount of dancing they were doing that a marathon runner could not have lasted the intense workout that these men and women did hundreds of years ago.
Wow.
But that's still just, mostly women.
That's a wild thing to think about. Mm-hmm. Just like the term, like, could they sustain this amount of dancing? Like, just like you never really think
about it. Okay, I've run a marathon.
That much dancing.
And I mean, granted, I was slow, so my time was like
28 maybe. Miles of dancing.
26.2.
Ooh.
My time, I think, was like just under 5 hours, which is slow.
Not bragging or anything.
No, that's slow. It's not, you know. Or maybe it was over 5 hours. I don't even remember at this point. Doesn't matter.
But you completed it.
But yeah, but that's only 5 hours of my time. They did this for a month straight. No wonder they passed out and had heart attacks and things. Like, 5 hours isn't that long.
That's some real dance fever.
Yeah, it really is.
Or that's one hell of a band. I want to hear those tunes. I want to hear
honestly.
What band did they bring in that kept people dancing that long?
That's what I'm thinking it's like.
Yeah, it's got some flute. It's like some majestic Celtic
pretty
sounds.
Much.
I feel like there's a movie that could like very like Lord of the Rings, Hobbit
yeah,
town.
Yeah, I think people can picture it. Okay, so here are the theories for why this happened. One of the first theories included food poisoning caused by the toxic and psychoactive chemical products of ergo fungi, which grows commonly in grains in the wheat family, such as rye, which is pretty much what they ate all the time, which was used in baking bread. And ergotamine, I'm probably saying it wrong, is the main psychoactive product structurally related to the drug LSD and the substance from which LSD was originally synthesized. So think about what LSD makes people do.
So they were all just tripping balls.
Maybe.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
No, but then you'd get tired after a while, wouldn't you? I've never done LSD, but...
Neither have I. However, I have a lot of friends who've done it, and I've been with them while they've done it.
Do you think they could dance for a month on LSD?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking a few hours.
Yeah,
for sure.
So no.
For sure. And also, I don't know if I'd call it dancing... More like spinning around or erratic movements.
Well, they're saying this dancing was like, sometimes it was kind of like feverish, erratic movements, but it was dancing. It wasn't like, at least the reports, it's not
where
like
just-
Where
were they getting the rhythm?
That you heard the tunes I just laid down.
Oh, just someone was just whistling on the street.
Yeah,
like, oh,
I
caught a tune. Were they all in sync? Is there any reference to that? Like, were they dancing together?
I don't think so, but I did hear a report, though, that...
Like, was there a conga line?
Well, I did hear a report, though, that they had some, like, strong men come in and dance with the women to encourage them to keep dancing. So there was some sort of...
It's so weird that they keep feeding the fire.
I don't know where their heads were at. They were starving. Listen, I can't go a few hours with being hungry without making the wrong decision. Think about it.
They must have been clearly starving. Yeah. All right, we got a woman who's been dancing for a few days, doctor. The only cure is more dancing. We need it. We need her a better dancing partner. We need her a stage. We need her lights. We need her a band.
Honestly, I wish this was my childhood. I would have been a lot more successful a lot earlier if my parents would have just been like, let's make this kid a child star.
It looks like this kid's got a problem. She keeps dancing for no reason.
Yeah, let's keep doing it.
If they would have just given you a stage and music, build a band around you.
Okay, so the LSD type of substance or whatever has also been implicated in a bunch of other historical anomalies, including the Salem witch trials, which is another witch hunt of women. A lot of people bring up the witch trials a lot in this, and I could go into it, but maybe another time, because I want to get to where I plan to go with this. So I don't know. The thing is, I don't think that that first theory works, because at the time they were already very aware of this food poisoning in their food, and how, like, they actually had like certain hospitals stationed for if this happened to people. So they knew what symptoms to look for and stuff.
1500s were pretty developed.
Again, let's get some of that back.
You got hospitals and stuff.
I mean,
and they knew how to trip balls on old rye.
Yeah, seriously.
And grains.
So
you might need to know how to do that.
I could,
here in this Corona times.
Let's do some research. Maybe we hold the key. Anyways, so I don't think that that's what it is, because they knew what those symptoms were. This was something very, very different. So,
and I would imagine if they were actually tripping balls on drugs, it wouldn't have such longevity. That doesn't.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that they thought it was drugs. Down. I think they thought it was food poisoning, which had happened a lot during that time. So they knew what that looked
food
like.
Food poisoning, drugs. There's a fine line there. I mean, mushrooms is magic mushrooms is essentially food poisoning.
That's true. That's true.
Not that I've ever done them.
Sure you haven't. Okay. So the theory that, and then the other, there was theories of, like, you know, demonic, whatever. The theory that I...
Possessed by the dance.
Yes. The theory that I think could be the most plausible is sort of a... Well, I don't necessarily like the way they say this type of thing, that, like, a mass. So the mass psychogenic illness is basically the rapid spread of illness signs and symptoms affecting members of a cohesive group, originating from a nervous system disturbance involving excitation, loss, or alteration of function, whereby physical complaints that are exhibited unconsciously have no chorus. Okay, this is a weird sentence, and that doesn't explain it. I'm going to explain it in my own words. So basically, I think that could have something to do with, and I heard that this theory, and it's kind of what I already thought on the this podcast will kill you. Their theory on it was like what mirror neurons, like so you know how, like, they say, like, sociopaths or psychopaths will not yawn when another person yawns. They don't have, like, those mirror neurons that do, like.
Interesting. I didn't know that theory.
So, like, if you were to, like, touch your nose right now. Or do something, I would, even though we're not supposed to touch our faces, but whatever, I would kind of naturally mirror what you did, just like, oh,
yeah,
do I itch too? Or
pretty common assumption that if you yawns are contagious.
Yeah. And mirror neurons and copying something that someone does is like a natural form of even like learning a new skill. Like, mm-hmm. You copy what your guitar teacher is telling you to do, or, you know, so that's like a very, so it could have just even been that one woman or man saw another woman dancing, and maybe it was just kind of was like, that looks fun, and maybe I should do that. And who knows? You have to think about, too, they could have just been in a trance state because of their lack of food and just the everything going on around them, that it was just...
Or are emotions contagious?
Totally. That's kind of like a similar version of...
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that... I don't know. I think that it... could have easily been something like that. Or it's like, okay, so even right now, like, if one of us was like, am I experiencing coronavirus symptoms? And, like, you started talking about it, and then the other one would be like, oh, yeah, because, okay, the other day I was like, I don't feel good, and then you were like, my arms are really heavy. I was like, my arms have been really heavy. Like, I have really bad body aches or whatever. It's kind of like almost like...
Paranoia and anxiety can be...
Yeah.
Contagious.
Yeah. And or like it's a sympathy pain or it.
Here's it. So, like, same thought of, like, animals can smell fear on humans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if humans can feel fear on other humans.
And yeah.
At a certain level, it incites a response where, like, if someone is panicking to such an extent that you can't help but also panic with them.
I think that is, you boiled it down way better than I could have. I think that's basically kind of what they're trying to say.
Yeah, like if you're in a stairwell and someone runs down, like, there's a fire. Are you not going to go, oh, shit, and follow them?
100%.
Probably.
Yeah.
So if someone's like, oh, shit, I'm dancing, you're like.
This is the smartest thing you've said on a podcast.
Well, I'm glad I was useful for something.
You're finally not speaking in, like, movie quotes and, like, moves like Jagger, dance fever.
Yeah, hey, let's forget I said that.
Yeah, you're not Casey.
I'm editing that out.
You're not Casey Kasem anymore.
Casey Kasem, what a name drop. I love
that. No, but that makes perfect sense. Yeah. It's like, yeah, like it's like there's, or even like, I feel like we're both very empathetic people. And even like us as a couple, we tend to fight when the other one's making us anxious. Like,
yeah, we're both sponges.
Yeah. Like when you're like high strung, it's like, oh my God. I'm like, can you just not right now?
We feel each other's emotions.
But I do that to you all the time too. So it's like, it's just like you sense someone else's anxiety. But that's why they say like sociopaths and psychopaths, whatever, they don't feel that. Someone else can be like upset or what, freaking out around them or hurt. And they're just like, I don't know. Does anyone want a sandwich? Like they don't care.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When you said the yawn thing, that really hit me. Like, oh wow. They don't yawn when other people yawn.
Yeah. I mean, they say that's like a test of a, but like, I don't know. But there is some truth to it.
Yeah.
So I believe that that is very possible. However, I take issue with the fact that it's this, because this was going on. This is still probably going on to a certain degree, but that was in 1518 into the 1920s, 30s, 40s, like the thought.
Today.
Yeah. Today, the idea that like women are just, you know, naturally hysterical or something. So it's like they don't, as opposed to just having basic human emotions or female emotions or whatever, that it's some sort of like hysteria. And the things that people they used to do back in the day or think are ridiculous. So I'll end my little rant before you do yours.
One thought off that before you end. I think that perhaps if emotions are contagious, mm-hmm. or if humans can actually feel the anxious energy off of another person, I would tend to believe that women are more susceptible to that. Rather, they're more sensitive.
Yeah.
In a good way. I mean, like they have that innate empathetic totally. Response that perhaps something like this, the dancing plague, could be more contagious upon amongst
because
women,
the women are feeling it
because
more.
they're more sensitive to another woman.
Totally. Totally.
And also probably because they've got better dance moves.
Yeah. Probably. I can't think of a better time right now than it is to explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity with Skillshare's online classes. I know personally I am ramping up my online classes on Skillshare. The time is now when we're at home to just be more creative, find what your passion is, and what you find might just surprise and inspire you. Skillshare is an online learning community where millions come together to take the next step in their creative journey. Thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people on topics including illustration, design, photography, video, freelancing, and more. Skillshare is an online learning community, like I said, that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Skillshare offers classes designed for real life so you can move your creative journey forward without putting life on hold. You can learn and grow with short classes that fit your busy routine. And Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to a pricey in-person class and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. I've learned so much with Skillshare. I've taken social media classes, creative writing, podcasting, even though I thought I knew everything. Nope, didn't. Learned so much more with Skillshare. So I think you guys should definitely try it. I love that it's a community, there's feedback, there's personalization. The quality of the classes are amazing and you just feel like you're learning and growing and doing something wonderful for yourself. So explore your creativity and get 2 free months of premium membership at Skillshare.com/be here. That's 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. So get started and join today by heading to Skillshare.com/be here. That's 2 free months of unlimited access to thousands of classes at Skillshare.com/be here. So I think basically there's been a time, and it's not as bad now at all, obviously, where basic women's sensitive emotions were considered hysterical. And let me give you a little history on hysteria.
Break it down for us.
Because I also think there's a part of me that thinks that these women just wanted to fucking dance. It reminds me of, and I cannot wait to do an episode on the Stonewall riots and Marsha P. Johnson. Because, hey, it's Women's History Month. That's why I'm leading this into a women's direction. Getting us off the coronavirus thing a little
Go
bit.
Women.
And leading us into where women's rights
finally kind of came into play.
None of us would be here if it wasn't for women.
Exactly. So anyway, I'll do a full episode on the Stonewall riots. I'm sure many of you know what they are. I did not know what they are until maybe like a year ago. It is probably one of the biggest movements in the LGBTQ community that just turned everything around for them. And it really involved, I just love freaking, Greg and I are making a movie on this. Greg's a director. I'm a writer. He's also a writer, but I'm a better one. I just think the world needs to see a visual of drag queens. And I think all the terms are outdated that you hear in these documentaries and stuff about it. But trans, drag queens, and they were a lot of them were of color. So just think about like how naturally athletic they are. Like just taking down police that were beating them up and doing a police raid of this bar. And they, at a certain point over the several day, you know, stand down or whatever, they started forming kick lines in protest. And I just love the freaking visual of a bunch of beautiful black drag queens or people of color drag queens just kick lining and singing and dancing. Yeah, and like
I'm envisioning them in like leather and roller skates.
Whatever it is, it's just cop a beautiful uniforms. and you just think about this like Irish Italian cop just being like, I gotta get home to my family. Like just that was
never
the worst
seen anything
accent.
Like this, I gotta get out of here.
We're both doing the worst accents, but like neither of those are anything close. Let's like I gotta think of an East Coast accent. I don't know, I normally can do one, but just the visual of them just being like, what am I seeing right now? My wife is going to be so mad that I'm missing dinner. Like I'm in so much trouble. Anyways, so I do kind of like the thought of like these women might have just been fed up and they were like, let's just look crazy. Let's piss our husbands off. Let's just have a
bullet together.
Let's just have a fucking blast, man. Let's just get
fuck
a little,
these dudes.
Let's get a little drunk and just have a, I've definitely thought that way many times. Like when I had like a boyfriend or something that I was fighting with and I was just like, I'm just going to go out with my friends. And even if he's with us, I'm going to be as annoying as possible. I'm going to do all the things that he finds me annoying for. Like,
you've done this to boyfriends?
Of course. You'll see it at some point.
You haven't done it to me, right?
You seem to find my annoying things adorable.
Yeah, you're really lucky.
Anyways. So, okay. So there was a time where hysteria basically means ungovernable emotional excess. And the word hysteria originates from the Greek word for uterus. The word...
Whoa.
Yes. And hysterical suffocation, meaning a feeling of heat, inability to breathe, was instead used in ancient Greek medicine. And the Greeks believed that the uterus moved around a woman's body, eventually strangling her and inducing disease. This suggests an entirely physical cause for the symptoms by linking them to the uterus. And it suggests that the disorder can only be found in women. So hysteria is only related to women because hysteria is related to the uterus.
So where do you think your uterus is right now?
In the place that it always has fucking been.
It's not moving around?
I actually don't even know where my uterus is. It's how much I know about biology. But anyways, so historically, hysteria was thought to manifest itself in women. Female hysteria with a variety of symptoms, including anxiety, shortness of breath, fainting, insomnia, irritability, nervousness, as well as sexual forward behavior. These symptoms mimic... Yeah, you would think the guy would like that, but it was only if it had to do with him. I'll get there. Hold on. These symptoms mimic symptoms of other more definable diseases and create a case for arguing against the validity of hysteria as an actual disease, and is often implied that it is an umbrella term for indefinable illness. One of the early works of hysteria involved 400 hysterical patients. So female hysteria was also once so common in medical diagnosis for women that it covered all those series of symptoms and anxiety, whatever. And it also included the tendency to cause trouble for others. My guess would be it causes a man to be immoral. Her hysteria, she's causing trouble.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We don't make mistakes.
No.
We were seduced.
Exactly.
By those evil uterus-carrying women.
Well, the uterus is floating around that body.
Floating
you don't know
around.
Where it is.
It's in their arms. It's in their legs.
Who knows? So in the 16th and 17th centuries, hysteria was still believed to be due to retention of humors. I don't know what that means. Or fluids in the uterus, sexual deprivation, or by the tendency of the uterus to wander around the female body. That roaming uterus, it's an outlaw. I feel like it's just like, it's a runaway.
She's acting crazy. It must be that wild uterus. Where's it gone off to now?
Well, you gotta, let me just tell you how we solved that problem. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
So the floating uterus can cause irritability and suffocation. And guess what? Self-treatment, such as masturbation, was not recommended at all. And it was considered taboo.
Of course not.
But guess what was helpful? Marriage and regular sexual encounters with her husband was still the most highly recommended long-term course of treatment for a woman suffering from hysteria.
What a plausible diagnosis.
I mean, I get why a man would enjoy that, but it's clearly like, obviously there were probably very few, if any, female doctors at the time. It was all male doctors, male politicians that were just like...
getting paid off by the husbands?
Yeah.
Or, all right, tell her to get, if she's going to be cured, she just has to screw me like 6 more times a week.
Yeah, and then she'll be fine. Her hysteria will be down. Or she will fucking hate you and take to the streets to dance and irritate you.
That's probably what it was. Yeah. She was prescribed 6 more weeks of sex and she was like, you know what?
I'm not doing it.
Fuck this shit.
She's like, you know what, Tommy? Like, that was a name back then. You know what, Theodore? You take care of the kids. I'm going to go out and dance. Sorry, buddy. We still got kids. Someone's got to take care of them. And he's like, well, I don't know how to feed them. I don't know. You got to stop her from dancing,
please. Why aren't you sweeping? I'm dancing.
It's a beautiful thing. Okay. So this did kind of turn around, I think, in large part due to Nellie Bly. Okay? So.
Who's Nellie Bly?
You're going to hear about her. So, in Western medicine, hysteria was considered both common and chronic amongst women. Chronic. The American Psychiatric Association dropped the term hysteria in 1952, eventually. 1952, 1518. I mean, I read it went back to like the Egyptian times.
1952.
So, even though it was categorized as a disease and hysteria symptoms were synonymous with normal functioning female sexuality, in extreme cases, the woman may have been forced to enter an insane asylum or have to undergo a surgical hysterectomy. Let me just tell you right now, I know a lot of women that have had hysterectomies, people that have been very young and they needed them for medical reasons. It makes them more moody because your hormones are really, it's not helping.
So the hysterectomy doesn't actually remove the hysterical.
No.
Hysteria.
But that was, you know. So, okay.
So that's where that comes from. A hysterectomy is an attempt to remove...
the hysteria.
The hysteria from a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is so bad. I feel bad for, like, using the term hysterectomy now.
Yeah, that's kind of should be outdated at this point. But so not only was it that, they were also sent to insane asylums. And this is where it's, like, where Nellie Bly's a badass. So... Nellie Bly was an American journalist.
Cool name.
Who was born in 1864, died in 1922. She was an American journalist, industrialist, inventor, and charity worker who was widely known for her record-breaking trip around the world in 72 days, and an expose in which she worked undercover to report on mental asylums. It was called 10 Days in a Madhouse. So... she was burdened with her theater and arts reporting, and she took an undercover assignment for which she agreed to feign insanity to investigate reports of brutality and neglect at the Women's Lunatic Asylum on Blackwell's Island. It's just so cruel, the Women's Lunatic Asylum. Yes, I'm sure there were, and lunatic's just cruel to say, but I'm sure there were a few to several women there that were suffering from real mental illnesses and needed treatment. But you're going to hear how much a lot of them didn't. So after a night spent practicing expressions in front of a mirror, she checked into a boarding house. She refused to go to bed, telling the boarders that she was afraid of them and they looked crazy. And this is all in quotes. This is her like acting, trying to.
Yeah.
They soon decided that she was crazy and the next morning summoned the police. Taken to a courtroom, she claimed to have amnesia. The judge concluded that she had been drugged. Several doctors then examined her, all declared her insane. Positively, and this is a quote, positively demented, said one. I consider it a hopeless case. She needs to be put where someone will take care of her. The head of the insane pavilion at Bellevue Hospital pronounced her undoubtedly insane. The case of the pretty crazy girl attracted media attention. Who is this insane girl? Asked the New York Sun. The New York Times wrote of the mysterious waif and the wild, haunted look in her eyes and her desperate cry, I can't remember, I can't remember. That was some really solid acting. just joking. So once admitted to the asylum, Nellie Bly abandoned any pretense at mental illness and began to behave as she normally would. She was there to...
So it was all a ruse just to get in, admitted.
Yes, and then she's there, you know, trying to, like, cover the story, but obviously eventually she wants to get out ASAP, so she starts acting normal.
It's really risky.
Well, the hospital staff seemed unaware that she was no longer insane and instead began to report her ordinary actions as symptoms of her illness. Even her pleas to be released were interpreted as further signs of mental illness.
This woman's acting way too normal.
That's what's so scary about, like, just it, like, it's like a group mentality, or if someone gets something, an idea in their head about you, or it's even like, think about a fight between a boyfriend and a girlfriend, right? And this goes both ways, but I'm just going to use it in this example. A boyfriend can do something really fucked up to a girl, right? And then the girl can react in a way that is hurt or emotional, and the guy can be like, whoa, you're acting crazy right now. This is crazy.
That's gaslighting.
Yes, absolutely. And I just can't even imagine being her. Actually, I can. in that situation where, like, she's literally just acting normal and they're like, we don't trust this, little Nellie Bly. We don't trust this. You'd be like...
It's terrifying.
Yeah. So even her pleas to be released were interpreted as further signs of mental illness. Speaking with her fellow patients, Bly was convinced that some of them were as sane as she was. So she's just realizing she's starting to hang out with these women. She's like, these women are fucking normal. And by the way, this is an incredibly accomplished, intelligent, to be that high level of a journalist in the mid 1800s, I guess. You don't get that far by being a total kook.
Yeah, you know? Certainly not.
So
they just didn't realize who she was.
Yeah, but no, but I'm saying, no, I know that. But I'm saying that even the other women, Bly is talking to these other women in there that are in there for no good reason. And she's like, oh my God, these women are
totally
normal. So Bly experienced the deplorable conditions firsthand. The nurses behaved obnoxiously and abusively, telling the patients to shut up and beating them if they did not. The food consisted of gruel, broth, spoiled beef, bread that was little more than dried dough, and dirty, undrinkable water. The dangerous patients were tied together with ropes. The patients were made to sit for much
tied
of the day.
Tied together with ropes?
Yeah. Bad. The patients were made to sit much of the day on hard benches with scant protection from the cold. Waste was all around the eating place as rats crawled all over the hospital. On the effect of her experiences, she wrote, what accepting torture would produce insanity quicker than this treatment? Here's a class of women sent to be cured. I would like the expert physicians who are condemning me for my action, which has proven their ability to take perfectly sane and healthy women, shut her up and make her sit from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m. on straight back benches, and do not allow her to talk or move during these hours. Give her no reading and let her know nothing of the world or its doings. Give her bad food and harsh treatment and see how long it will take to make her insane. 2 months would make her a mental and physical wreck. Yes, that would make any sane person insane. I'm almost done. Sorry, Greg. A particularly memorable experience for Nellie were the baths that the patients received. The bathwater was frigid and buckets of it were poured over their heads, after which the patients were roughly washed and scrubbed by attendants. The bathwater was rarely changed, with many patients bathing in the same filthy water.
Ugh.
Even when the water was eventually changed, the staff did not scrub or clean out the bath, instead throwing the next patient into a stained, dirty tub. The patients also shared bath towels, with healthy patients forced to dry themselves with a towel previously used by patients with skin inflammations, boils, or open sores. Nellie recalled the bathing ritual with trepidation, stating, my teeth chattered and my limbs were goose-fleshed when blue with cold. Suddenly I got one after the other, 3 buckets of water over my head, ice-cold water, 2 into my eyes, my ears, my nose, and my mouth. After 10 days, the world secured Bly's release from the asylum. I think that was the paper she was writing for. Her report, published on the World and later released as a book, caused a sensation and brought her lasting fame. Of her release, Bly wrote, I left the insane ward with pleasure and regret. pleasure that I was once more able to enjoy, the free breath of heaven, regret that I could not have brought with me some of the unfortunate women who lived and suffered with me, and who, I am convinced, are just as sane as I was and am now myself.
Wow.
So anyways.
What a brave woman. I mean, to like go in like that.
She probably has PTSD after that.
Oh, not only that, but like not only the trauma you experienced, but to, I mean, I guess she had her paper on her side to get her out. But like that's a quite a risk, to risk your mental sanity and potentially never see the light of day, the free world again, when there's people who.
I'm guessing maybe she didn't expect it to be that bad.
Oh, I would imagine not, but you know, before she went in.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it is incredibly brave. One really funny note about her, though, that I don't know why I think it's funny. I mean, listen, love is love. But in 1895, Bly married millionaire manufacturer Robert Seaman. Bly was 31 and Seaman was 73 when they married.
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes love isn't love, and it's money.
Eh, well, whatever. Listen, she deserves it. 10 days, yeah.
Smart woman. Yeah. I'm not Abe.
Yeah.
Marry for money.
Yeah.
I've been told by multiple women that are 50 years or older, mm-hmm. if you're not marrying into a business partnership, you're an idiot. straight up, women who have married for love, and they're 50 now, and they're like, if you ain't marrying for money... You're a dumbass. Even a man, me myself, you know, so
that's don't true. Blame them. I don't blame her. But that also, I think that is a funny way to end the whole like rant about like women. It's kind of like, but they're also human too. She obviously doesn't just think he's a hot piece of ass.
Probably not.
Yeah, no.
Well, I'm going to jump a little bit on the, I don't want to say the defense mm-hmm. here, but from the male perspective of perhaps it's not always men condemning women. Mm-hmm. Perhaps there is some psychological or emotional truth to why these things tend to happen to women.
Okay.
Or why they are singled out.
Okay.
A similar event happened, and it's much more recent, so we don't have to worry about the folklore and misunderstandings of what the church might have believed to be a pseudoscience or real, you know, medical doctrine back
but
in the day.
But this thing is a true thing that happened.
This is true. The dancing plague. Oh, I understand that. The dancing plague is real. Mm-hmm. And there were multiple dancing plagues, which
I know
blows my mind. But not a lot. 1518 is the most prominent, the most well-known, and really, I think, the last big dancing plague of its kind.
Well, I mean, they wore themselves out. The longest rave ever.
Until, of course, Coachella and...
That's true.
EDC and all those other things. Now there's a new dancing plagues, but they're
flower crowns
fueled.
All around.
Anyhow, so in 1962...
Okay.
There was a laughing epidemic.
Ooh, that sounds fun. We need that. I think we need both a laughing and a dancing one.
We do. We do. We need a lot of laughter, love, happiness, dancing, fun. That's what we need in these times of quarantine.
One of the points I forgot to make in mine, and then I will stop interrupting you, was I thought about it, and I thought about like maybe the women were just trying to make the best of a bad situation. Because think about like, you know, when the slaves were being treated, I mean, during that time when the slaves were freaking slaves and being treated like shit, they would use song and music to boost the overall happiness of the people they worked with. So during times of like difficult labor, slaves would break out into song to pass the time and lift their spirits and stuff. Like, I don't think it's that crazy of a thing that these women started dancing. I mean, it's a little odd that they danced themselves to death, yes. But I get the, it's possible that it was an overall mentality of like, how do I self-soothe right now?
It could have been some self-soothing, but I don't know if you're going to self-soothe yourself into a dancing frenzy that lasts months and then you die from a heart attack. That seems not so self-soothing.
I refuse to leave my position on this. They just went a little too hard with it, okay?
Okay, okay.
They didn't back off in time.
So what I find remarkable, and it's still in the same realm of why does this happen to women, that this unexplainable hysteria, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1962, there is such a thing called the Tanganyika laughter epidemic. It happened in Tanzania, and for seemingly no reason at all, a girls' school in Kishasha, which is a city on the western coast of Lake Victoria in Tanzania, had a plague of laughter. So it started with a few girls.
So they were just like laughing, like talking about something at school?
The catalyst of like the actual moment of like, I know it started with three girls. But we don't know what they were laughing at or why they broke into laughter. There is some explanations, but I'll get into what the hypotheses are of why they started laughing and why all this happened. But it eventually affected over 1,000 people.
All the, at the school or then
outside of the school?
Spread into the town and stuff?
It spread into towns 50 miles away. Now, it always involved someone who was sent home from one of these schools. They were boarding schools. So like a girl was sent back home to a village and she had the laughing plague and she couldn't stop laughing and crying. There was crying involved too, but mainly laughter. And it affected over 1,000 people and it lasted from January until June.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Just think about how many wrinkles they formed during that time laughing like that. So only much expression.
You would worry about that.
Well, right now, like, picture if that happened to the Real Housewives or something. They wouldn't be able to move their face and laugh that much with all the Botox.
That's true. That's
so this
true.
Wouldn't maybe, happen. Maybe, so well, problem solved. It wouldn't happen nowadays.
So it started with three girls, and then it spread throughout the school, affecting 95 of the 159 pupils ages 12 to 18. But it affected none of the staff. No adults.
No adults
were affected by the laughing plague.
And was this an all-girls school?
It was an all-girls school. And then the school had to close because of this. The girls could not focus on any of their lessons.
Frankly, again, a great plan.
Great plan. It could just all been a hatched plan.
Like, honestly.
You know, hey, maybe these girls are all just way more sly than we give them credit for. And I would believe that take. But anyhow, the school closed on March 18th. The symptoms were lasting from a few hours to 16 days of constant laughter. And then the epidemic spread to Nashamba, a village where several of the girls lived. And by April, 217 mostly young villagers had laughing attacks.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
I think it's cool.
And then it kept going on and on and on. All of the villages near Bukoba, which is like the main city off of Lake Victoria where all of this happened, it went into laughing fits. So
kind of a natural thing when you think about it. Like when you see someone else laughing, a lot of times you're just like, what are we laughing at? And then you just start doing it. But for 6 months?
6 months from January until June.
Would the same person be laughing the entire time?
No, I don't think that it was. I think it was just different fits of laughter. Mm-hmm. And they would get it over and over and over again. So here, let me just kind of break it down. So it says the laughter reports were widely accompanied by descriptions of fainting, flatulence, respiratory problems, rashes, crying, and screaming. In all, 14 schools were shut down and 1,000 people were affected.
I mean, you have flatulence problems when you don't laugh.
Not for the podcast.
I don't see how. They could have just not been correlated.
Well, the flatulence may not be correlated.
Yeah.
But for seemingly no reason,
I think people just do. It's we need to research if like if mirror neurons do affect something like that, where it's you're just like, I do what you do now. Okay,
I think it's less of a case of like a monkey see, monkey do.
That one makes more sense to me, though, than the dance epidemic because they were kids, and that's at a time when it's a peer group and you want to be cool amongst your peers.
Yes, but it eventually spread to adults and to boys alike. So patient zero were three girls at a girls' school, and it spread to over half the school of girls. But when the school closed and they sent girl's home, basically villagers started catching it. And while the majority of these were young adults of both sexes, there were some of the affected parents also got affected. So
it
wasn't
right
strictly, let's see here, 10,000.
Well, laughter is contagious, they say. That maybe that's where they came up with that phrase. Laughter's contagious.
It must be.
Don't you feel like we could use a epidemic like that right now? I mean, we have right now, we have like the dance plague of 1518 is basically TikTok during this time.
I mean, that's true. It's true. There's definitely, it's kind of like the challenges, you know, like the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
In a sense, is it like
catches
that?
On. Yeah.
Is it, things go viral. This is before cell phones.
They
how
make,
things
so
went
it
viral.
Just, it's yes, exactly. All of these things are the exact same things that are happening now.
Maybe just one hell of a good joke, you know?
Yeah.
They were just retelling this joke and like.
But no, I think you might be right though. Like even the thing that happened in 1518, they may have just been like.
It's like the Macarena. The Macarena came out and they just couldn't stop.
For all we know,
it.
Yeah, that was just the first thing that went viral. For all we know, that was just the first thing that went viral. And they just were like, what is this now? And like, it was like, they were like, we have to go to church and we have to, you know, churn butter.
Why aren't you going to church and churning your butter?
Yeah, like they.
Why aren't you sweeping the cottage?
I think, who knows? Maybe they were the first people. All right, that's our final. I think
you
that's.
You didn't milk the cow.
I think that's our final stance on the dancing plague and the laughter plague or whatever. They were just the first people to take things viral.
I like it.
I like it. Well, thank you for doing the podcast.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for doing more to come because we're here.
We're locked in. We're shut down. We're quarantined.
Everyone else is too.
We got content coming, folks.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.